three jazz tenors that we just heard from Jimmy Forrest, along with King Curtis and Oliver Nelson, with Soul Street, which also is the name of the compilation album Forrest released in 1962. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we are having a kind of celebration today. It's going to sound like that because it is. We're taking a moment in the middle of all the massive craziness that we've been dealing with to just talk about a big win against corruption and injustice in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Last Tuesday, May the 1st, the Reverend Edward Pinckney, a longtime grassroots activist, received some good news. Even though it came after serving a full 30-month prison sentence on a bogus conviction for election fraud. The Michigan Supreme Court, the state's highest court, finally reviewing his case, unanimously ordered his convictions vacated and all charges against him dismissed. Pinckney, a leading voice against corrupt political leadership and massive corporate land grabs in many black cities in the state, continued to organize even while in prison. Democracy works when people make it work, and when people work together to make it work. That's his mantra. So we take a moment today to celebrate the fighting spirit of Reverend Pinckney and the people of Benton Harbor, who are in a pitched battle with major corporations wanting to drive them out and take their land. And with that, I hope, Reverend Pinckney, I've done you some justice, getting just a little taste of who you are. Welcome to Lead Stories.
Latrice, it is an honor and a privilege to be on your show. I am excited. If you saw me now, or if you saw me on May 1st, you would have saw someone running through the house just trying to get his bearings, because I could not believe that you know, the scale of justice had finally clicked in our favor. It's too hard to believe that something like this could really exist. But I'm excited right now. I'm excited to be on your show. I'm just excited of what have happened. But let me tell the people how all this started, and then I can give them the good news.
Okay.
Is that the way you want me to present it? How would you like me to do it?
You just said it. Just
all right.
Keep on going.
Well, let me start by saying that April 24th, 2014, I was taking my wife out to celebrate her birthday. And before we can get to the restaurant, the phone was jumping off the hook. People was calling. They were saying that they had a SWAT team had surrounded my home and called martial law, because nobody could come in, go in their house, and nobody could come out of their house. They had the streets completely blocked off. Nobody walking around, nobody doing nothing, and they had surrounded my homes. They was on top of roofs. They was everywhere. They was across the street. We got a big apartment building across the street. They was in there in a kill position. And I didn't see it myself, but everybody told me exactly what it was, because I was in Kalamazoo, Michigan. My first question to them, who are they looking for? You know, and the first thing the guy told me, well, it's obvious they're looking for you. I said, me? He said, yeah, they're at your house, so they got to be looking for you. I said, what for? He said, you should know that, too. I said, I don't have a clue. He said, you got to know why they're here. I mean, they... you're talking about 30, 40, 50 police officers to arrest someone. That was too amazing for anyone to ever think about. But it was an amazing sight, even for my neighbors. I think it was designed to intimidate them more than me. But I had to find out. So after me and my wife got through eating dinner and everything, I went to my attorney's office, and he called the prosecutor office and wanted to know, why are you surrounding Reverend Pinckney home? He said, well, we have a warrant for his arrest for 5 felony counts of forgery on a recall petition and 6 counts of allowing someone to sign the petition twice. So I said, I couldn't figure out what I had done. I said, I couldn't figure it out. So he said, my attorney said, well, since it was my wife's birthday, I'll turn myself in on Monday. It was Thursday. Then they said, absolutely not. We're going to get him today. They was driving all over the community looking for me. They was trying to find my car. Can you imagine? Have you ever seen that SWAT team truck that they all these guys be packed in? This thing could hold about 30, 40 guys. It was just that big. And they was driving all over the city like madmen trying to find me for a recall petition. So the very next morning, me and my wife and my attorney and the bondsman, we all go over to the courthouse to turn myself in. I get in there, and the first thing this judge, Charles Lasada, said, well, this was the worst crime in the history of mankind. He said, nobody had committed a crime this bad. The crime, well, here's the thing. We was recalling the mayor of Benton Harbor. He was a puppet for Whirlpool Corporation. His name was James Hightower. He was a puppet. He knew he was a puppet, and he didn't think that we could get enough signatures to recall him. But we got twice as many, and this scared Whirlpool. This scared him. And this scared the whole courthouse, so now they had to do something to stop it. So they went after me. They figured I was the big dog, and now he's going to, if we get rid of him, we stop everything. So this judge goes on telling me how terrible I am. I'm the worst person in the whole wide world. There's nobody worse than Reverend Pinckney. He was telling me that this is a hard crime. And I'm thinking that he's getting ready to pull a body out the back or something. I had no idea what he was talking about. And he said, this is a bad. Then here's the thing. He said, bond at $30,000 cash. And I'm in total shock. I could not believe that word would come out of his mouth. But then he goes on to say that I can't use the internet no more. My wife can't use the internet no more. I can't even have the internet in my house. So I'm alarmed now because I know I must have did something terrible. And he said that now I have to be on house arrest and be monitored by the satellite. I can't be monitored like everybody else. It's got to be monitored by the satellite because I'm such a dangerous person. And sure enough, this guy set bond at $30,000 cash. Not 10%, $30,000 cash. I was alarmed. Well, anyway, during the we had a preliminary examination, which is that's what we have here, where the prosecutor present his evidence, and he gets up and say that we don't have any evidence that Pinckney did anything wrong, but let's let a jury decide. And the judge agreed with him. He said, okay, we're going to bond him over for trial and let a jury decide whether he's guilty or innocent. Patrice, I could not believe that this happened here in America, where people can go into the courtroom with absolutely no evidence to support that a crime was committed, but said, let a jury deal with it. And they know most of the time you're going to have an all-white jury. And in this case, by it being me, they was gunning for me. They didn't care who they got, who they get. They wanted Reverend Pinckney. They want Reverend Pinckney. That's who they want. The trial began on my birthday, October the 27th. And at that time, sure enough, we had an all-white jury. And the prosecutor gets up one more time, and he says this. He said, we don't have any evidence to convict him. We got circumstantial evidence that we know that he did it. That's what he told the jury. We know that he did it. And the judge said, whatever decision you make is going to be final. Amazing. And sure enough, they found me guilty of forgery on a recall petition. When everybody came in, reported that they, if anything would change, it was changed by them. The reason they said that I did it, because they said two pens was used in the wintertime. I said, that is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. But they can get away with this if we allow them to. So they found me guilty. The judge sentenced me to 30 to 120 months in prison. 30 to 120 months in prison. We went to the appeal court, the Court of Appeals, and they ruled against me. They said that if there's no evidence that I did anything wrong, but I must have told somebody to do it, which doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make no sense at all. That's the only explanation that they had, that I must have told somebody to do it. I'm sitting in prison, having to eat that food, and they talking about I must have told somebody to do something, which no evidence to support that. So we decided to appeal to the Supreme Court of Michigan. And our argument was, which, now let me go back and say that 168.937 is not a charge. They made that charge up to send me to prison. They made it up. No such charge as forgery in the state of Michigan on a recall petition under 168.937. There's no such charge. I knew it. And I went and filed a brief. Well, I had my attorney file the brief on it to let them know, but I guess, you know, they was out to get me, and it didn't make no sense. But the Supreme Court ruled 6-0 that there was no such charge as forgery on a recall petition under 168.937. They was entirely wrong. But here's what's important. The mayor and the election clerk got together and created this thing. They did it. She wasn't even certified to handle the election. They forced her to resign while I was in prison because there was no certification of her actually being able to handle the election. She also sent the petitions to Lansing without a court order, which is illegal here in the state of Michigan. I mean, Latrice, this thing is so amazing that nobody would believe all the thing they was doing to send me to prison. But I just want to thank God today and want to tell all your listeners that I'm excited today that the Supreme Court ruled 6-0 unanimously that Reverend Pinckney did not commit a crime. And I was so happy. And they said it. They said it right there and point clear that under 168.937, there is no such charge. There is no such crime committed by Reverend Edward Pinckney, and he should have never have went to prison. And that was the good news. And that's what we've been fighting for. That's what we've been standing up for. But people have to learn to fight back. Latrice, we have to learn to fight back because a lot of times people don't want to fight back. We have to fight back. And if we fight back, we can win. So, you know, just to hear the thought that the Supreme Court finally ruled on one case in our favor, and they did it, you know, nobody was against it. Everybody felt that, you know, that there was no such charge, that I was sitting in prison for no reason. And that don't happen here in America. They very seldom rule in the favor of a defendant, very seldom. But I feel so good. And I'm just grateful, and I'm just feeling right now. I'm sitting on top of the world. I can go around there, walk now with my head up in the air, because I knew the truth all along that there was no such charge. So on that note, where do you want to go now?
Well, it certainly energized the community and many, many supporters around the country because of the work that you've been doing. Tell us, what is the significance of this particular battle in Benton Harbor? What is happening that requires you to become so involved? What is the prize of Benton Harbor to the major people involved?
Well, we're surrounded by water, Lake Michigan, the Pawpaw River. We're like an island, and what they want to do, they want to control this island. They want to make it a playpen for the very wealthy. As a matter of fact, they have driven most of the people that was living in Benton Harbor out of Benton Harbor. Because right now we got less than 10,000 people living in Benton Harbor. And when I say less than 10,000, I mean exactly that. And so we've been battling, trying to fight. They just built a Jack Nicklaus signature golf course, you know, and they are surrounded with half a million dollar homes. And you know it's not for us, because you got to remember, 92% of Benton Harbor is 92% African American. 70% of the people that live here live below the poverty level. We have over 70% of the people unemployed. And the whole city is in shambles. It's controlled by Whirlpool Corporation. They are the main person or entity that's controlling and driving the African-American completely out of the community. They are fighting to drive people out, because here, most of the homes now, what they're doing now, they condemning homes. If they cut your water off, your house has to be condemned. If you have children, they call DHS on them, and they come and take your children. So you know, you got to either move out of here or go somewhere where you can be comfortable. And we're doing things. But here's something that your listeners need to know. We had 8 bodies of black men found in the lake here. One guy was found with his penis cut off and his ponytail. And the last people to see him alive was 2 police officers. And they called it, they said no foul play. Nobody knew where this guy was. They said he was in the lake, and he was way down. And they said no foul play. Everybody was concerned, because the last people to see him alive was 2 police officers. And it created a mess around here, because we know that, you know, that they've been doing. He was about the 6th or 7th body to be found or be pulled out of the lake. One guy was found way down closer to the jail, and they said no foul play again. But how can it be not foul play if you're being weighed down with bricks and stuff? That's impossible. Something tied to your leg to hold you down. You see, I don't understand that, but unfortunately, we don't have the power to make these people investigate this stuff. We don't have that. We don't have the power to make people just do the right thing. And all these bodies keep coming up. And then just the other day, last year, a guy was found hung. He was over 6 feet tall, and in the place, it was almost impossible for him to hang from the ceiling. And they found him hung, and once again, they said no foul play, he committed suicide. So that's one of my fights here. When I'm dealing with the corporation Whirlpool, I'm trying to make them be a good neighbor. Just pay your taxes. They pay no tax dollars here. They get free water out of the Pawpaw River, which is illegal. And they cannot pump water out of the Pawpaw River for free. And that's what they do to the water, the golf course, to keep paying Benton Harbor any money at all. They don't want to pay them nothing. But the fight continues. We have to make sure that we're doing the things that need to be done to make things happen. But I'm excited today, because also we're planning for a major protest May 26th. they're going to have the senior PGA here, and we're protesting the senior PGA. We want them. Now, listen to this. We'll put some demands on the table where we want them to transfer 25% of the 2018 senior PGA profits to the citizens of Benton Harbor. They pay no taxes. They don't do anything. All we want them to compensate for the land they stole to build the golf course there and the water that they're stealing from the people. We want them to distribute so people can know exactly what's going on. And I don't think we're asking too much. We're asking for 25% of the revenue that's coming in. When you get the revenue last year, the last time they held it, they claimed that they didn't make a profit, which is ridiculous, you know. But, they just say that because we can't go in their books. But we have to start doing something. May 26th, here in the city of Benton Harbor, at 11 a.m., we're going to be at City Hall, and we're going to march to the golf course. And if things work out the way – listen to this. If things work out the way we plan, we might even have a young lady streaking on the golf course. So it's going to be pretty interesting. So I'm excited, though. Because I think that we have to do things in order to get justice around here. We're never going to get justice unless we're able to take it. If we can't take it, we're not going to get it.
Let me ask you to go into a bit more detail about the central fight with Whirlpool Corporation, which is a dominant corporate presence in Benton Harbor. But it also is a story about how a corporation behaves in a predatory way. There's this land grab. A lot of illegal things are going on behind that to get at the land. And you have the reality that Benton Harbor is very poor, a very poor community, and seemingly unable to fight back because it takes money to fight back. Give us a sense of how this contest, this war between Whirlpool and Benton Harbor's residents developed.
Well, it started really maybe basically about 20 years ago. They planted the seed by controlling in our school system. That's where they planted the seed. And they sit back and watched it grow. They control the school board member. We have now the school board member now is 4 blacks and 3 whites. But the city is 92% African-American. And the area is 92% African-American. But somehow, Whirlpool managed to control the school system. Let me give you a perfect example. We just had a guy named Dr. Seawood. He was a graduate of Benton Harbor High School. He became superintendent of the school. What they would do, they would meet every Tuesday and have breakfast, and he would teach him how not to educate the student. His job was to just go through the formality and not even allow the teacher to teach. And he always had something going on. And this has been the history of Benton Harbor for the last 20 years. They took over control of our school system. We thought, at least I thought, that they would be providing funds for the school. But no, they were in control of our school, providing funds to the elected officials to make sure that they didn't give the superintendent any problems. And it started there. And then it started with the land. They started taking land like it was their land. They controlled the city elected officials, the council people. And they started taking land to build this golf course. And then they went so far and went to the beach, Gene Clark Park, which was given to the residents of Benton Harbor by Mr. Clark in honor of his daughter, and they put the 6th, 7th, and 8th hole in there. They've been taking land, and they came up with this scheme about if you get your water, well, they tripled the water bill. And then they went and started condemning homes. They had the city to do it, but it was under the management of Whirlpool Corporation. They was here making sure that they get the land and what they needed in order for them to be successful. And that's when the fight began. Most people here didn't have the skill or the time nor the money to fight against a corporation like Whirlpool. We're talking about a $20 billion corporation that's not just here in the United States, but it's international. And we was up and we was winning. I think in 2006, we called for an international boycott of Whirlpool products. And during that process, what went around that they thought it was going to be a hostile takeover of the Whirlpool by some unknown company. And Whirlpool was scared because nobody have ever called for an international boycott of the Whirlpool products, which is good. And also, the owner and the heir to Whirlpool is U.S. Representative Fred Upton. See, a lot of people didn't know that. So we're fighting not only against this corporation, but we're fighting against the government itself, who is in total control as they steal land from the residents of Benton Harbor. And one of the things they did, they spliced into Benton Harbor water supply before they went to the Pawpaw River to pump water out of the Pawpaw River. They spliced into the water supply of Benton Harbor and was stealing water. And the only way we discovered it, the pipe bust. When the pipe bust, the guy came out and repaired it and said that they had spliced into your water supply and was stealing water, which was so incredible. These guys, I mean, they don't pay taxes. They don't pay water bill. They don't pay nothing. All they do is take from the residents of Benton Harbor, and that's the fight. That's the fight where we at right now. That's the fight that we're going to continue to fight, and that's the fight we're going to win. Because I'm telling the people, we can win if we fight. You can't win if you don't fight. So that's what it adds up to. So we have to make sure that we're doing all the things that we need to do, make sure that things are falling right into place, and make sure that we take care of the community, which is the most important thing of all. So that's where we're at.
Since this fight began, Reverend Pinckney, have there been any concessions by Whirlpool? Has there been any indication that they are paying attention to a higher calling, a higher order, and that they're now working on being good citizens, or have they just continued doing these underhanded things that cause great distress to the already distressed people of Benton Harbor?
Well, you know what? They're worse now than they ever been. They continue to pound the people. They got 4,000 employees that works at Whirlpool headquarters here in Benton Harbor. Less than 0.5% are residents of Benton Harbor. Less than 0.5% of the people that work at Whirlpool Corporation are residents of Benton Harbor. And what makes it so amazing is that, you know, how could a corporation like this not want to build up the community for their own good? And they won't do it. They will not do it. And this is what it adds up to. Unfortunately, the people in the community, they say, well, maybe one day Whirlpool will start hiring people that lives in the city of Benton Harbor. But it haven't happened yet, and they're going to continue just doing that because that's the way they do business, and they're happy with it. Their stock have been falling ever since the Supreme Court made that. I'm not going to say it's because of that decision, but May 1st, that stock started declining, and I'm happy to hear that. I like to see them pack up and leave here, because we don't get any taxes from them, and they use our roads and stuff like that. And I think it's time that they move out. They used to threaten to move all the time. We'll move out. And my words to them, move. I'll help you. But unfortunately, we're dealing with people who has no respect for the citizens of Benton Harbor, and that's Whirlpool Corporation. And they're the main entity here that have kept this city down. If they just paid their fair share of taxes, they can even write that off.
I think there's a phone off the hook, and we're hearing. Okay, great. So it's fine. Are you there, Reverend Pinckney? Oh, it's on his phone. All right. So we're getting a picture of what the situation is in Benton Harbor, a small city of about 10,000 people. 90% of the city is comprised of African Americans. And over the years, as he's been talking about recent decades, we have a company that moved into town called Whirlpool Corporation and systematically set about the task of just taking the town, just taking it. Not really improving the town, not giving back at all, and not being a good citizen, but in fact, preying on the very poor people of Benton Harbor, taking advantage of the privileges that they think they're entitled to, even though they are at the expense of this poor city. And it has gotten progressively worse. They identified Reverend Pinckney as the trouble spot, the main trouble spot, because he's agitating and bringing to light to the local community the ways in which Whirlpool Corporation has been misbehaving and to their detriment. And the momentum began to build. And so the pressure on the system to take Reverend Pinckney out of the equation. Then came this trial on bogus charges because he was involved in a recall effort to recall a mayor who very often sided with the Whirlpool Corporation. And so they had a recall effort, and it was quite successful. So the trial itself came about as a way of punishment for participating and leading people back, you know, on track to a point where they can see that there is this possibility of controlling their own destiny and that it is their job to do so. So that has been his work, and he's all in. The trial produced a bogus result, as we talked about the Supreme Court of Michigan, the state's highest court, ruling on the 1st of May that these charges against him were in fact bogus. They should be thrown out and must be thrown out. But again, even so, there have been no consequences to the people who did attempt to use the system as a tool of punishment, and doing so with a sense of confidence that nothing will happen to them. Reverend Pinckney, you're back with us.
Yes, I am. I am back, and I am back, and I am back. And you know, the fight continues, especially with Whirlpool Corporation. When you think of how they could just be a good neighbor and pay your taxes, you know, if they pay just some of their taxes, we will be happy. We'll be able to utilize that. And those taxes, you know how much? They got $64 million back on their income tax, and which they don't pay taxes, period, but yet and still they get $64 million back on their income tax. They're stealing from the people. But big business and stuff like that steals from the people, but nobody wants to stand up to them. Because believe me, they will come after you. We don't know. But, hey, my thing is, you got something for me, bring it on. Because I'm willing to stand up and make things right. Because I think that if I'm doing what's right, God would take over and do what's right and make us win. And we've been winning. We've been winning with this corporation. Only thing we lost the land. But we're coming back. You know, we're coming back because now I'm back. And we're gonna fight on a whole different level. We're going to start our protesting. We're going to start picketing. We're going to start boycotting. As a matter of fact, on May 26th, we're setting up a boycott of all Whirlpool products, KitchenAid, Maytag, and all the other they make. Because they own 74% of all washers, dryers, and stove and refrigerators. So, our goal is to kick off May 26th with an international boycott of all Whirlpool products. That's where we're going with it, and that's how we have to learn to fight back. We have to hit them right in the pocket, so people can know exactly who these people are and what they're doing to our community. And they're destroying it. They already destroyed the school system.
Reverend Pinckney, one of the things that you have constantly stressed in the work that you do is the idea that democracy works when people make it work. And that means that people have to take charge of the process themselves. They have to own the work. They have to make it theirs. Not to wait for anybody to solve the problem, but they have to do it, and they have to do it together. In your experience, has this approach worked successfully in Benton Harbor?
It have. Matter of fact, do you remember the time we had the emergency manager here? The emergency manager himself, he had absolute power, where he could terminate the mayor here. But before that, the guy was a good mayor. What he did, the emergency manager did, he came and took his desk and put it in the basement and took the keys from the commissioners. At that time, we was in control. We had 7 votes on our side, and Whirlpool only had 2, you see. And the way it works by numbers. I believe that if we learn to understand that we can win by numbers, it's more of us than them. This is my message to Whirlpool Corporation. In the city of Benton Harbor, we got more good people who are willing to stand up to you and fight you than we got bad people who are willing to stand up with you and fight against the people. So right now, we're at a position where we can stand up and work together and fight together and win this battle. We can win. See, this is the attitude. This is all over the country where most people believe that they cannot win. We cannot beat the government. We cannot beat the corporation and the government together. We can beat them. We can neutralize them if we learn to work together. And if that's my message to my community, that we have to learn to stand up together, fight together, because we know that they're out there. They're out there waiting to try to figure out a way how they're going to exploit us. And that's really what it's all about. So we just have to do what we got to do, stay focused, and we can win. I believe that if we learn to work together, stand together, fight together, we can win this battle. And it should be all over the country. It shouldn't just be in Benton Harbor. It's like we're talking about General Motors. We're talking about all these big Ford Motors, all these big companies that we should be able to neutralize. We should be running these companies, And until we get that in our head, it's going to continue just like it is.
How can people help you and those who are struggling in Benton Harbor?
Well, here's the thing that has happened since I've been home. I've been awarded the largest church here. A guy in Chicago bought this building, this church, and this is the largest church here in the city of Benton Harbor with a school attached to it. And what we going to do with the school, we're going to be teaching people how to become electricians, plumbers, carpenters, pipe fitters, and bricklayers. We're going to start our first class May 15th, which is next Tuesday. We're going to train people and not charge them a single dime for the training. And we're going to make sure that they're able to pass the test to become a more of a licensed person. And we need a roof on our school and church. And if someone wants to help, I would like for them to make out a check to Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. That's Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. And or you can go to bhbanco.org. We have a PayPal and a GoFundMe page also. And we need $30,000 to repair this thing. And we our goal is to get the money and keep this thing going. And we're going to make sure that we enhance our community, which is the number one thing that I'm fighting for. If a person want to reach out and help me and help our community, you can make out a check or go to PayPal or GoFundMe and send us some money to help us. But we do need help. And Latrice, that's what we're trying to accomplish here. I believe that, you know, we have to start educating our community on a different level. And this also will give them a chance to be more of an activist when we, you know, we can also teach them about that during the process of teaching them to become electricians, plumbers, and carpenters, bricklayers, and pipe fitters. We can do all that, and that's my goal. So I'm excited. I'm really excited, Latrice. I'm just happy to be on your show. I tell you the truth, this has been a remarkable day for me, and I'm feeling good. And you know, since the victory itself, things have been moving in the right direction, and I'm going to keep it moving. That's all I can tell you, Latrice. I'm going to keep this thing moving until we become successful at what we're trying to accomplish. And also, we're going to boycott Whirlpool Corporation. May 26th will be the kickoff of the boycott of Whirlpool products, and I'm excited. I'm telling you, I'm excited, Latrice.
I could hear it, and I'm so happy that this milestone is crossed. You know, that you have come back home, and you're getting down to business. I want to, as we get close to the end of the program, I want to share with listeners that your views that you've expressed about community work are nothing new. I want to share with them a snippet of a speech you gave, oh, gee, this is quite a while back. Mm-hmm. You were talking about democratizing the local, serving all the people. This was back in 2006. You were speaking at a local democracy convention. And this is what you said then, and it remains true today.
But this is when grassroots comes in. You see, this is where you got to understand how to build. You got to learn how to build a group of people. You see, you start with a few, and then you get your message out there. Let them know that you're willing to stand up for what's right. See, like I tell my people, if they call me, they can call me, you can call me. If you call me, I'm coming. It don't make no difference where you at. You can be in Mexico. If you need my help, I'll be there. That's a promise, not a say-so. Let me get back to it, because I know I'm jumping around, because I know we don't have much time, but this is so important that people need to understand. You see, grassroots is more than that. And when you're talking about democracy, how do you get democracy? You know, it got to come from us, the people. It got to come. There is no other option. See, these politicians and folks, they're supposed to be working for us to help us deal with these corporations. You see, the corporation out, they got 374 billionaires here in the United States. 374. And here we are fighting for little jobs. We got people who don't even have water in Michigan. There's over 45,000 people who don't even have water. In Detroit and in Benton Harbor, we got so many people who don't have water, don't have lights. We got more homeless people. We only 12,000 strong. We got more homeless people living in Benton Harbor than you would ever imagine living underneath the bridge. That's what I be fighting for. This is what we be trying to pull people in. It's important, but we have to do it together. We can't do it as an individual. That's what I tell everybody. See, it's not just me. See, people are so convinced it's me. Well, they won't. No, it's us. We're a team. There's no I in nothing I do. It's we. It's we. And even the elected, they tell, well, Pinckney was involved. Pinckney did. It wasn't just Pinckney. It had to be other people. I can't win no election by myself. I'm only one vote. That's what they said, but they was convinced. But this is why we have to stick together. And when you leave here today, you need to take back with you, if we can beat down Whirlpool, you can beat down anybody. That's right. Yeah. Do I have a couple of more minutes? Are you sure? Okay, because I don't want to, just a few more minutes, because I got to hit this home. Because the reason why it is so important. Now, you, wherever you live, it don't make a difference where you live at. We was fighting with General Motors. They called me to come up to Detroit to deal with General Motors. And what we did with General Motors think they're bigger than life. You see, they think they're bigger than like Whirlpool. Or Whirlpool, they're concentrating on Benton Harbor and this land. But General Motors is something entirely different, you see. But there's a General Motors, there's a Whirlpool in every community. And we all have to start somewhere. We got to start with ourselves. We got to decide how far or how much of ourselves we're willing to give. You got to be willing to die for what's right. That's during the revolution. In every revolution, this is what my brother told me. He went to Vietnam. And he told me, he said, the people in Vietnam could win this war. And he said, I said, well, they can't beat the United States. The United States is bigger than life. He said, yes, they can beat them. He said, because those people are willing to die. They're willing to fight until they're dead. And if you're willing to fight until death do you part, you can win. But we have to do it together. Take this back to your community. Let people know, you know, we need to stand up for what's right. And tell the people the truth. Don't try to deceive them. Don't try to tell them, soup it up and make it better than what it is. Just tell them the truth and deal with the truth. And that's how you win. That's how you win. And we have to say this, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Fight for our children. Not children's children. And that's all I got to say.
This is Reverend Pinckney in 2006 saying the same things that he's saying now today. Well, Reverend Pinckney, we've come to the end of our program today, but I want to thank you so much for being with us, and I want to thank you for your fighting spirit. I want to encourage people to share the joy of you being back at the helm, and remind us once again of how people can help you.
Well, the most important thing, that if you want to send a check, you can send a check to our school and church. You can send it to Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. That's Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Or you can go to bhbanco.org. We have a PayPal on there. And also you can go to GoFundMe and Reverend Edward Pinckney, and it'll come up there. We will appreciate anything that you may send. We need all the help we can. And we're going to keep this thing going. It's all about democracy, and it's all about winning and standing together, something that we all can do.
Thanks again for being with us today and for being a continuing inspiration to the community and for putting up with these, as you would consider them, minor inconveniences in your life, but in fact they're not minor, but you keep your eyes on the prize. And
absolutely,
I just wanted to take this moment to acknowledge the work that you have been doing in Benton Harbor and outside of Benton Harbor as well. And my sincerest wish that you have the strength to continue for many, many more years to come.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I truly, truly enjoy being on your show. And I just love to, you know, I just feel it. You know, I can feel the fire.
Thanks, Reverend Pinckney. And that brings us to the end of our program today. I hope we learned something from it. And from time to time, you really do have to take a moment and give praise where praise is due. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.